It seems to me, however, and I don't know how you feel about that, it seems to me like the benefit is to the child, not to the institution, if they're provided the parental choice of where they go to school.
Through the chair, if I might. Well, in point of fact, parents and children don't get to choose under this. The school chooses. I mean, if you go to a school and you say, I'd like to have my kid go to your private school, in point of fact, the school looks through and decides whether that child is acceptable. And the courts have ruled that those schools can exclude students on the basis of gender, on the basis of achievement. I mean, there's a list where they can exclude. Courts, I believe, have also held that just because you're passing that money through a parent to a school, the only place they can spend that money is in a private or religious school or homeschool situation. So it really is, and I don't like the word shell game, but it really is kind of a shell game where we're saying, well, we're not going to give this money to a school, we're going to give it to a parent to give to a school. I think the courts look very dimly on that. I don't think that that meets the test that the Constitution has set in place.
And I'm not defending necessarily this bill. I think this bill does have some problems. But I certainly am in favor of what I call parental choice. And so my next question to you is, do you believe that the state has an obligation to pay for every child's education in the district rather than just those who sign up to go to the public school?
Through the chair, I believe that the state has an obligation, right, to make available to every child in the state a free public education that is the very, very best we possibly can afford. And beyond that, I think that whether we have children or not, we have an obligation to society to say, you know, it's kind of, I mean, it's like the old Fram oil filter things. You pay me now or you can pay me later. For those kids for whom we are not doing a good job educating, we're going to pay as a society later. So I really believe that. So the argument that parents are paying taxes and choose not to send their children to public school to me is kind of specious. That is a choice they make. Because you pay taxes and choose not to send your kids to public school, I mean, that's a personal choice. I can't relegate my responsibility to society. You know, I don't own an airplane. And some of my taxes are going to keep airports open and plowed. Should I pay for that? Yeah, I think so. It makes this state a better place. And I hope I've answered your question.
We need to talk some more.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Further questions for John? Thank you, John.
Thank you very much.
Just as a side note, parents are offended about using their tax dollars to go toward a specific program. It might remind this committee that there are very few tax dollars coming from the public.
Careful.
Only in the most broadest of sense. Is there anyone? One step back. We also have a lady, Cecilia Pellavota from Delta Junction, that has joined us. Cecilia, are you online? Please state your name, affiliation, and your remarks.
My name is Cecilia Pellavota. I have an affiliation myself. I teach my children at home using my own curriculum that I created myself. I'd like to say that I find that the public school system provides a basically atheistic school program for children, and I like to exercise my freedom of religion by not accepting that and providing an education for my children on my own. In doing this, I'm denied funding. I'm going to purchase everything on my own. I homeschool six children at this time. Our education is very good. It covers everything from classical music through literature. My children designed and built a barn at the ages of 13 and 15 on their own. But if I look at the school curriculum as it is, as an atheist, I'd be very happy. But as a Christian, I'm not. Why should I be denied funding to school my well, I'm not very well prepared. I was told that this was not, I would not be allowed to testify, so I left my preparation just to come and listen. So please excuse me if I sound a bit off. I'm trying to collect my thoughts until a couple moments ago that I found out that I couldn't testify. I think that my children deserve an education as much as a public school is as a public school. But I think that atheism is not a proper thing to teach all children. If it was non-denominational, then that would be one thing. But an atheistic curriculum is wrong. I believe that I can't think of anything proper. I'm sorry. I'm very disorganized.
Cecilia, does that conclude your comments?
Yes, I believe so.
Thank you, and rest assured that if you're on the teleconference line, we're anxious to hear your comments. Is there anyone else here in Juneau that wishes to offer comments on House Bill 5 dealing with the voucher system? If not, we will close public testimony. Again, this committee is charged with the responsibility of not determining whether or not the voucher system is good public policy, but rather to look at it from a constitutional aspect as it relates to this particular bill and marries with or against the U.S. Constitution and certainly our Constitution. The prime sponsor's staff said he had 20 or so court cases that could be made available to this committee for our perusal. I'd like to get those for the committee members and give us an opportunity to look at those particular cases and determine whether or not they are relevant. Most of those cases are outside of the state and could be considered persuasive but not binding based on our state constitution. Representative Roper.
Well, Chairman, I hope you're going to have your staff go through those and write us a brief on that. And allow us, require us all to go through those. But I'm really kind of curious to, I've had a little testimony, a chance to review the file about the intention. If I could direct a question to Mr. Lawrence.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lawrence, as I take it, the charge of the Hess Committee to this committee was to determine whether or not the constitutional issue was before us. If in fact we found that there is an existing House Joint Resolution 6, is there a sponsor of that? Is Representative Coring the sponsor of House SJR 6? Who's the sponsor of that?
For the record, my name is Randy Lorenz, aide for Representative Vic Coring. Through the chair, Representative Roeperg, HJR 6 is Representative Coring's bill. The reason why we have not bothered to put it in at this time is our Constitution, as it stands right now, does allow for a voucher system. It does allow for public funds to be sent to private schools. The problem is,
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Roper, does that answer the question? Or?
Yeah, it does. I find nothing in the file to corroborate that statement. I've got a clear opinion from the Legislative Council as well as the Attorney General that contradicts that opinion and no backup for that. I mean, there also seems to be relatively clear language. You know, unless this committee wants to go through an arduous work and labor reviewing constitutional minutes and having other legal opinions presented to us. I mean, that's our job, and I don't mind doing that. But I'm wondering why it's a matter of somebody's opinion right now. It looks like the sponsor's opinion against the Legislative Council and the Attorney General. So I'm trying to weigh the balance here about how much effort we should put into this issue.
In response, I think this committee will give the matter a fairly good working over. It is not the intent to delve into the public policy side of it. I think once we reconvene at our next hearing, we'll debate the constitutionality probably not at length, but I think there'll be some issues brought up. If you looked at the construction of the Sheldon Jackson case and believe that those arguments that were brought out in that opinion that was written applies to this bill, then I think clearly it's patently unconstitutional, if that's the arguments that would be used. Now, the question is, would that the existing court use the same arguments under this particular setting and then try to marry those arguments against our Constitution dealing with public education? So that's, I think, the direction that we'll take when we reconvene for our next hearing. And we'll debate the constitutional issues, and at that point we'll determine whether or not we want to refer this bill back to the House Committee.
And we'll get copies of those cites.
Okay, I'll get them down to you.
Randy?
Yeah, if I may, Representative Cott, to speed up time here and not to waste your time, it is Representative Corrine's feeling the best way to approach this would be to send it back to the Hess Committee, have them put out all the changes, since the way the Establishment Clause is set up and what they call the Lemon Test is set up, you have to look at how the program would be implemented to find out whether it's constitutional. So if we go through all this process, deem it is constitutional, then send it back, they make changes, those changes could render it unconstitutional. I think for the sake of time, I will get those cases down to you for your review. In the meantime, have this sent back to Hess to iron out the departmental details of, you know, the implementation and all that. So when you see it, you see the actual bill as it's going to be presented in light of the Constitution, and then look at it from that aspect. Because there's many changes that can be made in this bill, and those changes could render it unconstitutional.
I appreciate those comments. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, the Hess Committee did have their opportunity to make those changes and forward that new committee substitute, if there was one, to this committee. Unfortunately, they opted not to do that. They sent it to us, and what we have is the existing document, and if this body of individuals at this table decides to send that back to the Hess Committee, then we will, in fact, request it back if they make additional changes. There's no guarantee there's going to be any changes. So we're dealing with what we have in front of us now. And if this committee determines that there's constitutional problems with it, then it will not leave the committee and go back to the House Committee.
Yes.
You'll have to work through a different avenue. I guess HJR 6. Representative Roper, in conclusion?
In conclusion, Mr. Chairman, if that's the case, and I appreciate your willingness to take up the issue, because it is an important issue, I, for the record, I don't want to make any of my questions seem that I'm opposed to vouchers per se. As a matter of fact, it's the contrary. I agree with Representative James that the people of the state should have more choices, but I think it's also our responsibility to look at the constitutionality of this bill. So therefore, if the committee wishes to look into this further, I'd ask that we have minutes of the Constitutional Convention about the appropriate article, that we get a copy of the Sheldon Jackson decision, and I'd suggest to the sponsor that he get at least a pro bono legal opinion to argue his side of the case, because that otherwise it requires us to brief this thing, requires us to do all of his work, and I don't want to do that, and I'm sure your committee doesn't want to do either. So as a result, Mr. Chairman, that's what I'd like to see. Yeah.
Those minutes to the Constitutional Convention are certainly available, and there was some discussion during that convention on whether to leave in the section dealing with public funding or to remove it.
And
Representative Croft.
There was also a significant amount of discussion on whether to add direct or indirect by Delegate Coghill, who later served in this body, and I have some of those, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. I can distribute that portion if you have others. I'd be glad to do what I have. Sheldon Jackson and one other case are the only ones I've found on this on this issue in Alaska, and I have a copy of the Matthews v. Quinton case too. I think those two for the Alaska provision are the only ones we have.
Very fine. I'll take that from you.
No charge.
As long as there's no fee. The next hearing will be next Wednesday. We will start off in a joint hearing with the Senate to cover our appointments by the governor. It should be fairly sweet and short. And then we'll continue the discussion on House Bill 5 and the securities measure. We'll adjourn at 3:07.